It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio, heading down to Rosemont, Minnesota, where University of Minnesota Extension Crops Educator Dave Nicolai is. Hello, Dave.
Hello, good afternoon.
How much snow did you get there south of the Twin Cities?
Well, we got about 8 to 9 inches of snow through that first wave of storms, but fortunately, we've had quite a bit of melting the last couple of days. We probably lost at least two-thirds of that, but still have snow on the ground.
But that's okay, because then it melted and trickled in, because you, like most of us, are a little on the dry side?
Yeah, we are a little on the dry side. I think certainly probably 14 to 15%, they estimate as of this last week, that we were below normal in terms of the percentages, in terms of moisture, but we're certainly a lot better than we were last year, Mick. We were at this time about 45% surplus, but only 4% this year, so that really allowed us to get the crop out of the ground.
For sure, yeah. I've talked to some folks in Southern Min who are all done, and others who still have a lot of corn to go. So I know there's a lot of variability, but ballpark figure, what would you call corn completion?
Well, it all depends, again, where you are at. One of my coworkers in the Lamberton area and estimates probably just as of today, perhaps just 5% of the corn. But then if you go farther east in eastern Minnesota, a little bit more variability. There's more corn in the field. You get some areas, it's probably 20%, 25%. Well, but again, a lot of variability with that in terms of the corn crop, but the soybean crop, thankfully, is really all out for any practical purposes, and that's gone. That's very good.
Yeah, and yields are, I think up here in the Dakotas, most people are saying, well, it was better than I thought, or better than average, or in some cases, best crop ever, and yet you could drive 3-10 miles away, and they had the worst crop ever.
Well, I think it was really a tale of how much moisture arrived at critical times, Mick. I know I looked at some of our plot averages in terms of coming out of our corn and soybean growers members in the McLeod County area, just south of Hutchinson, about a week and a half ago. They took out a plot that averaged 220 bushels per acre. Farther down the road towards that Renville County area in Bird Island area, it was drier up and out in situations with that. Some of the yields were down to 186, as high as 220 in a range, but not quite as good as they were farther east. So, again, a tale of how much rain came at what critical times, and things were a little bit drier the farther west you went in Minnesota.
Okay, that's the corn and soybean story, which in southern Minnesota has kind of, in years past, had been the bulk of the crop production. But there are other crops that are grown down there, aren't there?
Well, it certainly are. I mean, we talked a little briefly about the sugar beets, and I know that some of the averages I've heard, 23 tons and so forth, and the sugar content was good and the quality is good. So quite a bit of that was taken out. We do have sweet corn and canning peas. So there's a couple of larger canning processors in southern Minnesota. Their yields were respectable, too. Typically, as the corn grain goes, so goes the sweet corn in terms of yield and tonnage, and that was very good. So there are some good crops, involved in with that situation. And, of course, most of our alfalfa producers for livestock, typically now they're aiming for, 4 cuttings in a year. Their yields, again, were very good and timely as long as the rain came in a situation where most of them were able to take advantage of that.
Visiting with the wheat growers, executive director up in Red Lake Falls, they're talking there's going to be more wheat in southern Minnesota next year. What have you heard?
Well, I think early on that certainly was a case and situation, but if we're competing against these other commodity prices of other crops, and as you certainly reported here this last week, if we looked at where the soybean price has gone and going up and the corn prices, so you have competition for those acres. Certainly there's always a rotation effect here where people want different crops involved in that. Probably get a little bit more of the wheat in terms of the small grain situation, spring wheat, farther in western Minnesota, although we do have pockets around the Left Center area where we have very active growers as well. Some looking at possible winter wheat situations that might be another advantage. But again, it's going to be in different pockets and different areas.
Yeah. Our ancestors, one or two or maybe three generations ago, they grew a fair amount of wheat, or at least more crop rotations, and they did it for keep the disease out, or they did it to soil health. And I think some farmers are starting to consider that. Huh?
Well, certainly I think rotation for different crops, you think about a corn bean rotation, still somewhat problematic for a lot of soybean diseases. And if you go back far enough in time, of course, Mick, you're going to be in a situation where we have more wheat in southern Minnesota prior to growing soybeans that came in more adapted in the 1930s. And obviously that's why we had the grain elevators and Minneapolis became the wheat capital on the rivers in the late 1800s and early 1900s, where it was a predominant crop. But with the advent, I think, of soybeans and situations with that, that certainly has changed in terms of that. And, of course, pricing in the worldwide market made an impact on that as well.
Yeah, that excellent history, things we've got to keep in mind, because history does tend to repeat itself, doesn't it?
Oh, it certainly does. And I think the precipitation patterns and so forth are all going to play into this. It doesn't mean that soybeans are always good yielding. In some places, soybeans in Minnesota are tough to grow and in situations. So small grain is a good alternative in a lot of those locations.
Okay. Dave Nicolai, University of Minnesota Extension crops educator. Dave, any other agronomic things you want to point out to folks today?
Well, I guess the biggest concern, and we talked a little bit about it at the beginning, was the snow. We probably are limited in the amount of tillage. Unless we're doing tillage right behind the combine, I'm afraid some of that hasn't gotten done. And if we get really cold, that's going to be problematic. And the other thing would be some of our fall fertilizer, whether it's P and K, and in some places nitrogen probably wasn't applied in a timely manner. So things could back up a little bit and be problematic for growers, I think, next spring, because some of those options and opportunities in the field, tillage and fertilization for next year's crop, were probably not done or going to be more precluded, depending upon the weather here. We're going to get a little warmer in the first week in November, but I don't know, Mick. It's November. It can be dicey.
Boy, that's for sure. And the window in the spring is always narrow or uncertain, for sure. Okie doke. Dave, thank you very much. Hope you have a great weekend, and I hope all the extension the research plots get pulled off here in a timely fashion for you.
We certainly hope so, too. Thanks for calling.
You bet. Talk to you later.